So by way of explaining today's sermon title, Stitching a New Quilt, I want to share a story with you. Many of you know I was visiting my mom recently. She and my dad had lived in Hawaii for close to 50 years now. But my mom was raised in Virginia, in Northern Virginia, but still what she considers very firmly the South, long before the Civil Rights Movement. She would only half-teasingly remind my children about the War of Northern Aggression. And only recently has it dawned on me to recognize that the prints in the entryway of her apartment now, three of them, which have hung in every house I've lived in growing up, are soldiers from that same war, but they are Confederate soldiers. For my whole life, they just sort of were wallpaper. During the week I was home recently, I was watching the podcast of the mayor of New Orleans, Mitch Landrieu, describe the reasons for removing the statues of Confederate officers that were prominent in that city. Many of you may have seen his exemplary speech. If you haven't, I encourage you to watch it. The historic record is clear. The Robert E. Lee, Jefferson Davis, and PGT Beauregard statues were not erected just to honor these men, but as part of the movement which became known as the Cult of the Lost Cause. This cult had one goal, he reminded us, through monuments and through other means to rewrite history to hide the truth, which is that the Confederacy was on the wrong side of humanity. So as I'm watching this video on my computer in her den, my mom is drifting in and out. And at one point, she looks over my shoulder and she said, "Oh, that's such a bunch of bleep." A friend of mine described her mother in ways that could possibly apply to mine as well. She calls hers a ninja hostess, which means everything's good, it's really cool, until you don't agree with her and then she cuts your head off. You want to be a little bit careful. Anyway, my mother was not liking Mayor Landrieu's speech, and I asked her at one point, as Mayor Landrieu pointed out in his speech, what she would say to the 8-year-old child who walks past the statues every day on their way to school and wonders, as a child of color, why they're there. She left the room in a huff, and a few minutes later, she came back, and a bit quietly, she said, "Well, I guess I just like the comfortable blanket of the familiar." And then she left the room again. And I thought, wow, Mom, sometimes you surprise me still. "I guess I just like the comfortable blanket of the familiar," she confessed. And who can blame her? An old quilt, finely stitched, has a memorable warmth. So a number of years ago, I did a series of sermons on the parables of Jesus. I was preaching at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Weston that identifies as a Christian UU church. Jesus is still not considered divine or a different child of God than any of the rest of us might be, but he gets a bit more attention than in most UU environments. At any rate, the parable we heard this morning was one of the five I explored, and actually one of the five I found most puzzling. I think one of the great things about checking back in with old stories like the parables is that they kind of stick with you, and you get to kind of play with them in your mind over time, and sometimes they jump right out at you in ways that suddenly make sense. You get these little epiphanies that remind me of the gift of the morning dew sometimes, subtle and almost unnoticeable, except when you see the light catch a drop of water on a leaf or a blade of grass, and it pulls you up short, and you think, "That's stunning. That's amazing." This parable says that you can't put new things on or in old things. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old cloth. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. So we think, what does that mean exactly, and how is it relevant? I did a bit of research at the time that I want to share with you about cloth and about wineskins, although, to be honest, we'll talk less about the wine today than the cloth. 2,000 years ago, average people didn't have large wardrobes full of clothing. They didn't open a closet door and try to figure out what to wear that day. New things were out of the ordinary. Most people wore their clothes, the same clothes, year after year, day in and day out, and the familiar was patched and patched to last as long as possible. Now imagine you have your favorite coat, and you catch a nail on it, and it tears. This favorite coat has been washed time and time again. It's the perfect fit. So if you take a piece of unshrunk cloth, and you sew it to cover the tear, and then you wash it again, the new cloth will shrink, pulling at the seams of the old fabric and tear it further. Nobody with any sense would do that, or at least not more than once. So clearly it makes no sense to sew new cloth onto old. So just hold that thought over here. And turn to wineskins. They're still making wineskins, you know. You can go online and you can get instructions for how you could make your own if you had a goat and the right tools. And you knew how to skin your goat so that the neck is not torn. It's not a project I want to take on. I think most of us have decided that bottles are easier, but 2,000 years ago, wineskins were the way to go. And the common wisdom was that you could use them according to their age. Today, there are ways to preserve the skin somewhat more effectively, but basically, we know that organic materials age, and wineskins harden and become more vulnerable to the changes in acidity that new wine undergoes as it mellows. So as the parable says, no one would put new wine into old wineskins because the skins are too brittle, they're too vulnerable, and they would break open, and you would lose all your new wine and your tried and true wineskins. So now maybe we know why it made literal sense as a parable 2,000 years ago. To understand it metaphorically or figuratively, it's important to remember that it came at the end of a lot of other teachings and likely suggested the incompatibility of a new message with an older understanding of the world and how it worked. So it made me wonder, when is it exactly that we each might recognize the comfort of our familiar blankets, our old cloth, the warm and worn stories of our favorite quilts, or clothes, or wineskins? And how do we discern when they may no longer serve us or help us serve the world around us? I wonder if there is something that comes to mind for you in your life. Is it a pattern? Or a default mode, a way of doing things, or a way of thinking or responding that is so much a part of you that you can barely imagine doing it differently. I encourage the quilt image this morning of the comfortable blanket because, as I mentioned earlier, quilts tell stories, sometimes about people or places or events, and sometimes they tell stories about the quilter. So in this case, they tell stories about ourselves. What does your comfortable blanket say about you? What story does it tell? What is it you have been wrapping around your shoulders and relying on, for better or worse? And might it be time for something new? Is there some event or situation that asks you to challenge your comfort? I think as a community, we have been challenging ourselves here at Theodore Parker Church a lot this year in particular. We've been asking ourselves to consider our patterns and our habits and our systems that have defined our individual lives for a long time and impacted who we are as a congregation as well. Whether you have been here for 30 years or more, or only for the last 3 to 6 months. We are all a part of the story of this community, a part of its fabric, its quilt. And every now and then, in the history of a church like this, a new quilt gets stitched. So maybe it's a function of change from within, like when the minister in the late 1800s left, and the church, then a big white clapboard structure on the site of the Holy Name Preschool, somewhat mysteriously suffered a fire. Time for a new quilt. Or maybe when what we now know as the parish hall was too small and a new sanctuary needed to be built, another new quilt. Or maybe when the two congregations that had previously been together remerged and became the Theodore Parker Church. Or when the few who remained in the early 1980s here voted to give this community one more shot. New quilts. These were not patches on old cloth or new wine in old skins that would risk both, but new fabric, new expressions of life, new containers of story, not because everything old was lost, but because it was respected and given its place and a new journey begun. There has been, thank goodness, no fire, no tragedy, no cosmic shift compelling change this year, but somehow, not unlike my mother's quiet acknowledgement of an internal awareness that a part of herself was relying on the comfort of a blanket that maybe just didn't quite serve a new need, it feels to me we are stitching, all of us together, a new quilt. We are stretching ourselves out of the familiar arena of comfort. I wonder if you feel it. To me, it feels bold and good. It feels like a community paying attention to the world around it and figuring out how to serve it with fresh resolve, even as it continues to care for itself. It's being crafted with the history of all the quilts that have come before it, woven into segments, but also with the aspirations of now and the urgencies of this time, the energies of commitment that tried and true members put forth, but also of each new face that joins us and engages here. It likely won't be a perfect quilt because it is a living story. But it is so exciting to see it becoming. What color, I wonder, will you bring to it? What message will you want to make sure is reflected of who you are? I am hoping that this fall, when we regather, we will craft together an actual quilt. Maybe an actual quilt. With our signatures, maybe, or maybe a mix of all kinds of things, sparkling or quiet, who knows? But a tangible reminder of this time in the life of this community, this evolving and energetic and responsive home of our desires and our dreams, a quilt that will both inspire and inform us, a symbol of warmth and comfort as we continue to grow. That someday down the road will want replacement as its lessons become worn, but that can serve us now with color and vibrancy and the welcome of this very moment. I hope the question of your own comfort lingers with you a while these next few weeks or more. We need to be asking ourselves what patterns are serving us and which it is time to replace with new perspectives. The warm days of summer when we may not literally rely on those old blankets so much are possibly the best times to consider what does or doesn't continue to serve. The ancient wisdom of the parables reminds us not to let ourselves get stuck. That love requires us to be looking forward, needle in hand, open to the welcome of something new. May we each and all ever be willing to make it so, and to wonder together, what will our new quilt look like?